You may have noticed that I like shooting and firearms, in case you haven't noticed. Over 10 some years ago, I went to the SHOT Show, the biggest gun show in the world, with a friend of mine who is another gun guy, to the Las Vegas. And it happens in Las Vegas annually. I've never been in Vegas until then. I heard about the reputation, loose living, and the immorality of that place. But I did not realize how bad it was. I could not turn my head without seeing the half-naked woman on the signs. So I said, okay, I'm not going to look anywhere else. I'll just look straight. And then we were behind, our rental car was behind the bus. And there's a sign behind the bus. So most of the time I was looking down our rental car floor. Are we there? No? Are we there? No? Yeah, we are here. You know, I don't know how they could do it, how they can be so bad. But when we went to the Bulgaria for the short-term mission trip, it was far worse than Vegas. And I heard that Vegas is now worse than that. Whenever I study the book of Corinthians, I think of the city of Corinth like a Vegas. The city of Corinth was full of temptation, especially for the immature Corinthian Christians at every turn outside of the churches. To help these spiritual young believers, our Apostle Paul set up stop signs so they can be guided. Because if they keep going in the same direction, what had begun as a celebration of liberty would have ended as a lamentation of the bondage of sin. So far, Paul is just warming up. Until chapter 10, he was just warming up. From now until chapter 16, he's going to hit everything without holding anything back. And I firmly believe that the Lord is going to speak to us. Let me put it this way. Majority of you, without an apology, I will tell you, majority of you are immature, spiritually. You may have ears behind you as a Christian, but when it comes to the spiritual maturity, you are not there. How do I know? Soon as you get the trial, you fall apart. If you're truly a mature person, when you face the trials and tests from the Lord, you will focus on the Lord and continue. Instead of falling apart and feel like God just lost you. Let me ask you this. Has God ever lost control? Do you say that because that's your knowledge, spiritual knowledge, or do you say that because you believe it in your heart? If it comes from you, it will depart from your head. But if it comes from your heart, it will stay there and become a fire in your heart to stay in the course. Are you with me? So in case you're wondering if I'm going to apologize for my statement calling you guys immature, no, I'm not going to. Apostle Paul stayed as is, I will say the same thing. And you can choose to stay being immature, or you can choose to become mature. Memorizing Bible verses will not make you mature. Staying in the course with Jesus Christ will make you mature. Focus on Him. Whatever comes along, He will be there. Whatever the trial you have, let me put it this way, even if it's horrible and most terrible thing you ever faced, it was granted, it was permitted by the Lord. Are you with me? Yeah. If God says no, you would never get that trial and test. Does it mean God allowed me to fail this? No, not necessarily. Our sinful nature may cause all that. But God used that opportunity to grow you. According to the book of Job, God bragged to Satan about Job, the righteous. Yet, God still allowed him to go through the trial and test. Probably he went through the trial and test the most severe than anything we ever would go through. I don't know how many children you have. He had 10 children. He lost them all. And he lost everything he owned. And people jeered at him. If that's not bad enough, boil popped on from the top of his head to the bottom of his soul. And guess what? He didn't deny God. He kept his eyes on God. That's the maturity. And you're wondering, in case I am there, I'm not even near there. But I'm hoping that I'm striving to get there. Let's stop and pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity for us to hear from you, to seek you, to honor you, knowing that all the glory goes to you. Whether we give it to you or not, then nature point the glory to you. Have as your word, the heaven declares the glory of God. Anyone who has even the small amount of open mind will realize when they see the night sky that is filled with the stars, have to realize that you are the great. Father, speak to us. So that we may never fight for the glory of yours, always seeking to honor you, always seeking to be your servant. Father, we pray that it is not about what we can do or what we can have, but it is all about acknowledging and glorifying our Lord and Savior Jesus. Father, anoint our hearts to understand your truth, and anoint our the one who speaks, so that he may speak your word only, and teach us how to fight against temptation, and so that we may give you all the glory and honor and praise. And we pray for President Trump, that he may do what is right in your sight, and you protect him, and protect our troops, especially the one in the harm's way, and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 10, verse 14, please. Chapter 10, verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from immorality. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourself what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Verse 17, for we, though many, are one bread and one body. By the way, I want you to note the word communion in verse 16. One bread and one body, and for we all, next word, partake, or some of your versions says share, of all of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat the sacrifice partaker of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to have a fellowship, note that word please, with demons. You cannot drink the cup of Lord and the cup of demons, and you cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Stop there, please. I'm sorry, go one more verse. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Now, stop. The original language, the Greek language, there is an article like a T-H-E, our language, the, is ho, or ha, rather, ha. Before the word idolatry. So it literally is saying the idolatry, specifying one particular idolatry. What kinds of idolatry? That happening in the Corinthian pagan temple. The apostle felt strongly about this issue because he understands its implication. He knew that the Corinthian association with Corinthians' association with idolatry would lead to grieving God's heart and destroying their fellowship with Him. Like the ancient Israeli who escaped Egypt and did while they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. Remember how many times they still tried to go back to Egypt. And to support his command, and he tells them that why it is so important to flee idolatry. Israelis, not only they tried to go back to Egypt, their descendants who came into the promised land, what did they do? They continued to dabble into their pagan neighbor's pagan god. During the time when everything is going well, and they embrace the neighbor's pagan god, and they get chastised by God, and they cry out to God. And it was a vicious circle over and over and over. Since the Corinthian Christians tend to pride themselves as they have wisdom, Paul challenged them, if they are truly wise, to carefully consider what he says here. In the rest of chapter 10, we see the same word partake popping up three times, from verse 14 to verse 33. Some of you virgins say this sharing. King James and New King James render participation as a partaking, of which Greek word is a matero, and it is a parallel word with the Greek word koinonia for communion in verse 16 and fellowship in verse 20. Even the English word is understandable. Participation, fellowship, communion, they all connecting together. Just as the Christian practice of communion speaks of unity and fellowship with Jesus, so this pagan banquet given in the honor of idols speak of unity with demons who take advantage of the misdirected worship. To eat at the pagan temple banquet was to have a fellowship at the altar of idols. Do you understand? In that part of the ancient world, eating at the same table with same sharing, same food is special. In America, everybody get their own plate. And there's a big plate, everybody scoop it out and put it on your plate politely, and they eat. Eastern world, they didn't. You scoop the soup, which is in the middle, with your spoon, stick it in, put it in your mouth, and you want more, you stick back in. Double dipping, triple dipping, 100,000 times of dipping, all granted. If you don't, you're insulting the host who invited you. You know why they do that? Because they didn't have a whole lot of food. So everybody eating the same food, sharing the same food, breaking the same bread. There, during that time, when they said, let's do lunch, it's more than just doing the business talk, having a fellowship. You're allowing that person to come into your space, so-called. So it is more than just having a meal together. Is sharing the time together and having a fellowship together. The cup of blessing was the last cup presented in the Jewish Passover ceremony. This was the cup that Jesus blessed at the Last Supper, and the one interpreted as the new covenant in my blood. When early Christians took a communion, they were aware of its connection to the Passover. With that Last Supper of Jesus with his disciples. It's a horrible mistake not to know about the background of their idolatry and their idol sacrifice. True enough, the gods of the idol have no existence whatsoever. Buddha statue doesn't mean anything. Come on, talk back to me. It's a fat guy sitting with a twisted leg. Nothing more, nothing less. Confucius, the picture of a Confucius in China. Or the Greek gods, does it have any meaning? Do they really exist? No, none of them. However, something does exist behind the scene, something that is far more terrible and far more hideous than these pseudo-gods, namely an entire kingdom of darkness. which is hostile to our God and host of demons who ruled by the greatest of their number, namely Satan. Without knowing it, idol worshippers are glorifying demons in their sacrifice. Understand? I was flipping the channel on TV, and I came across the preview of this, the Thor, T-H-O-R, Thor, that, huh? Thor. I guess it is one of those comic become movie, very popular. And according to the storyline that I understand, it's supposed to be a god, right? A god. It seems like there are more than one god there. And one god, one particular god, get beat up by another god. And I was watching that portion, it's just a small portion, and I realized this is pretty much the same thing as the Greek gods. So there's a message behind those movies. They are trying to influence our children. Young people watch that kind of thing, right? Trying to influence there's more than one god. Do you understand? The unwitting fellowship of these Corinthian Christians with the demons by participating in the dinner at the pagan temple will provoke the Lord to jealousy. He has the right to all our worship and has the right to be offended if we give our fellowship to demons. It doesn't matter that the Corinthian Christian didn't intend to worship demons at the heathen feast at the pagan temple. Say, I didn't mean to go there, I just went for the food. Doesn't matter, you were in the wrong place. Let me ask you this. After a woman married to a man, if she started to date another guy, what do you think the husband would do? Kill? Wow. You've been hanging around with the redneck too long. You've been coming to our church too long. Okay. Would her husband be jealous? Rightly so, right? We are the bride of Jesus Christ. Are we not? As his bride, if we do something wrong, like paying attention to other gods, should God, our God, be jealous? Please, do not get into the wrong kind of thing. I'm going to list a few things. Dungeons and Dragons games, Ouija board, tarot card, crystal balls, tea leaf, palm reading, psychic, especially those 1-800 psychics, fortune telling, horoscope, the oriental yin-yang, and feng shui. How many of you guys understand feng shui? Do you know what that is? Feng shui is even like in the room. Furniture need to be arranged to get the right force. There's a Greek word for that. Hogwash. All of these are straight out of pit of hell. Are you with me?
Yep.
All born-again Christians should stay far away from them. Would you read the list of that from the top? Dungeons and Dragons game. Come on, out loud together. Ouija board. Tarot card, crystal ball, tea leaf, palm reading, psychic, fortune telling, horoscope, and oriental yin-yang, and feng shui. I hope none of you are into this thing. If you are, get away. Get away, far away from that. If you've been reading one of those daily horoscope, knock it off. Because you're dabbling into demonic thing. I don't know any of those things. Depending on your date of birth, there's a Virgo. All this different thing. Yeah, knock it off that too. Knock that off. Because that's a part of the garbage. That it's a different package. It's same thing, different package. You may remember the incident at the top of the Mount Carmel. And from the First King, chapter 18, people of Israel has been trying to worship their pagan neighbor's god, Baal. And the prophet Elijah demanded people to make up their mind whom they should follow. Let's keep your finger in the First Corinthians. Go to First King, chapter 18, please. After Second Samuel, chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him." Make it clear to your heart. If God is God in your heart, do not get into any other things that I listed. By the way, that is not complete, it's just list. There are a lot of garbage out there. Another thing that I didn't list here is a lot of Indian, American Indians, the artwork, like a spirit medicine man, Coco Perry, all of that. If you have them in your heart, in your house, get it out. Do you know what it is? It's an idol. And you're thinking, ooh, I don't like it. Would that tell you anything other than truth? If you think it's anything, actually, I want you to check it out. What does the Indian thing represent? You may say it's just decoration. Well, what if I have a Buddha in the, here? Just decoration. Would it be right? What's the difference? Here or your house? Make no mistake about it. God will not share your heart of adoration with anyone. Deuteronomy 4:24, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." Understand? All right, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 23. Chapter 10, verse 23. If you find the chapter 23, you're in the wrong book. "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." Would you underline verse 24, highlight, circle, whatever. "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. If whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe that invite you to dinner, you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if anyone say to you, 'This was offered to idol,' do not eat it, for the sake of the one who told you, and for the conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord and all its fullness. Conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with the thanks, why am I evil spoken for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Let me read that portion again, verse 31. "Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the churches of God, church of God. Just as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." Stop there, please. Okay, let me make this very clear. I don't do camping. I did all that when I was a kid, young, and when I was in the military. My idea of camping is staying in Hilton with a high-speed internet connection. I'm a hopeless city slicker. For the sake of the sermon illustration, let's say we all went camping. And one of you set up the campfire. It's a cool night. So I sat next to the campfire. Can I sit next to the campfire and warm myself? And you will say, "Of course. Somebody's phone. You're buying lunch. Ed is buying lunch." Okay, everybody got that? All right. Let me ask you this. What if I pick up the can and it's filled with gasoline, and to play with the fire, I'm going to make a bigger fire. If I throw that in, would that okay? Is that okay?
No.
Why? I can burn myself because it will explode, right? And we might set up the fire. I might set up the fire in the whole forest and make other people to get hurt. There's something is permissible, but not all things are beneficial. Are you with me?
Yep.
And you're thinking, okay, we are not taking pastor to the camping. Thank you. The Corinthian Christians, with their focus on their own right and their own knowledge, were immature. Just because something is permitted doesn't mean that it is beneficial. The Corinthians were not seeking the helpful things or things that would edify others. Essentially, instead of wanting to go forward with Jesus as much as they could, they wanted to know how much they could get away with and still be a Christian. It's a horrible and obnoxious approach being a Christian. Whenever I hear this argument between two different camps, once you're saved, you're saved no matter what. And another camp, that's a lot of times the Calvinist, the other camp said, Arminianist said, you can lose your salvation, you have to come back to God and be saved. Are you trying to tell me Jesus had to die on the cross all over again? I said this, I will say it again. In the Bible, you find the Calvinist concept in the verses as well as the Arminianist concept verses. Sometimes they are side by side with complete harmony. What am I saying? The key point, I'm not going to even go there. The key point, why do you want to know how far you can get away from God when you can spend eternity trying to figure out how much can I be closer to God? Am I making sense? That was a bad English. You can spend eternity not figuring out how close you can be with God. That's better. Why do you want to know how far you can step out? That should never be a question. If you stay close to God, you don't ever have to find out how far you can walk away from God. You will never lose the salvation as long as you stay close to God. Some of you might ask, what is such a big deal to Apostle Paul that he talked about the eating meat in the temple or the meat sold from the temple market? Ladies and gentlemen, it is not about the meat we are concerned about. Rather, it's the principle of the personal liberty that might cause others to stumble. Corinthian Christians did not consider how their action could harm others. Infant, baby, and young child does not care what's going on around them, around him. He wants what he wants when he wants, not later. Some children grew up to be an adult, but they don't grow up to be mature. They remain childish and they remain selfish. True Christians should be people with a childlike faith, not a childish mentality. Am I making sense? Simply because the meat itself is not infected by the demons and can thus be eaten. Sacrifice lost its religious character when it's sold in the meat market. It's nothing more than good quality meat. At the butcher's shop, some of the meat was sacrificed to idols, some of them were not. But Paul said, if you are going to partake the atmosphere of the pagan temple, meat itself doesn't matter. So don't ask. If somebody is providing you, Apostle speaking to the Corinthians, if somebody providing you dinner and there's a meat, don't ask. Just chow down. I guess in a way it's like a don't ask, don't tell policy. Whatever you eat, ask for God's blessing on it. And be thankful to the Lord for what you have. Whether it's a fantastic meal or another Taco Bell food. It doesn't matter. God provided for you. Here, Paul has in mind the setting where the Christian is warned about the food by is an unbelieving host. If that person tells you that this meat was sacrificed in the idol in the temple, don't eat it. For the unbeliever's sake, as well as somebody there who has a weak conscience. Not because you, for the others. That shows the difference between a mature Christian and an immature Christian. Mature Christian would think about others more than oneself. I mentioned to you, 21 people are involved in our youth ministry. They think about others. And many of you are serving. At the same time, many of you are doing nothing. I'm giving you opportunity to serve the Lord. Stop being selfish. And you may say, I cannot do a whole lot because of my physical limitation. They'll come talk to me. I'll give you an opportunity. Can you pray? Can you pray?
Yes.
There's an opportunity. Before the Lord saved me from my sins, I used to drink beer. I didn't drink a whole lot, but I drank the beer. I liked the taste of it. My wife cannot even smell the beer. And when I got saved in 1987, that was the end of the beer. The Lord took the desire out of my heart. Now, I don't even drink near beer. Because most of the time, near beer has a shape, look of the beer. I don't want somebody to think that I'm drinking beer. I don't want somebody to see me in the Chinese restaurant opening, what's that thingy? Fortune cookie. After I spoke against the psychics. I don't do a lot of things for the other people's sake. Are you with me? You cannot say, well, I have a liberty. Yes, you do have a liberty. But think about others before you do. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Am I making sense? It is about the liberty within the limits of love. It's about liberty within the limits of love. The purpose of our lives isn't to see how much we can get away with, still be a Christian. Rather, it is to glorify God. If the Corinthian Christian would have kept these principles in their mind from the beginning, how much easier it would have made everything. There's a great verse that would go with the verse 31 in Colossians 3. So turn to right past Philippians, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus and giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Isn't that good? I was watching one of those military reality program from National Geographic Channel a few years ago. And they were showing what went on during the U.S. Navy SEAL Hell Week. One of the hardest, picture please, one of the hardest and toughest military and physical and mental training anywhere in the world. With very little sleep over 5.5 days, this man who wants to be a Navy SEAL will run, swim, carry boat, and tread the freezing water, and crawl through the sand and repeat all over again. Do you know how many hours they sleep in 5.5 days? 4 hours. I've seen some of the guys, while they're eating the food, they put their face directly into the food and go to sleep. Any other time they get yelled at, they have to run and kicked with the sand. All they have to do, if they want to quit, walk over to the bell and ring the bell and quit. And there was some one guy that stood out. All the Navy SEAL instructors called him preacher. Do you know why? Not once during the grueling training, not once he complained, not once he cussed, not once he used vulgarity or profanity. Let me make it very clear to you. Unbelievers, watch us, especially when we go through a difficult time. God has given each of us certain abilities, talents, and resources. The question is, what are you doing with them? Are you seeking to use them for His glory? Are you offering your resources and future to Him? Or is it all for you? I'm not saying that you have to be a pastor. Whatever you do, whether you are a doctor, stocking person in the grocery store, plumber, secretary, truck driver, builder, police officer, or something else, whatever you do, you should want to serve the Lord and do it for the glory of God. That's why it matters. Your life can be a testimony and witness for Jesus. How about you? Individually. Do it. Do you do it for the glory of God? Or do you do it for others? Or do you all of that, whatever you have for yourself? Two applications. Number one, our Christian liberty should be within the limit of love for others. Can you say that with me? Others. Others. I remember the founder of Salvation Army, General William Booth. He's supposed to go to the one place in England and speak to them. He couldn't go because he was ill. So he sent them telegram. One word. Others. He understood. Second application. Whatever you do, we should do all for the glory of God first and love for others. Amen? Let's stand up and pray.